How do you reimagine iconic music by the king himself, Elvis, that not only stays true to all of the fans, but captures the profound impact it had on audiences 60 years ago and perhaps attracts a new audience? That's Vegas by American rapper Dojo Cat sampling Hound Dog, which was recorded by Presley in 1956. The challenge of telling Elvis's story and reinterpreting the best of his music for Baz Luhrmann's film fell to Gold Coast composer and music producer Elliot Wheeler. And what an amazing job he's done. Elliot's just landed in LA, which is a perfect backdrop to chat about this film and the soundtrack. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks, Patricia. Nice to be here.
How daunting was it to be asked to compose the music for none other than a movie about the king of rock and roll?
Oh, look, it was absolutely daunting. And you very much feel that responsibility both to the millions and millions of fans that are out there, but also particularly to his family. And he's just someone who means so much to so many people. I think Graceland is the most visited house on earth. So you've got these people who make these pilgrimages to go and see sort of the place where sort of they feel like he's still sort of represented. And yeah, it's something that you absolutely feel the weight of and the responsibility to get right.
So when did Baz Luhrmann first approach you about this film, and what was your starting point?
Look, we'd sort of heard rumblings of it from when we were sort of on past productions for a long time, but we actually started our process back in 2017. And as with a lot of Baz projects, it's very organic to start with. There's sort of conversations, and then we had some listening sessions, and then we sort of went, okay, well, there's over 800 Elvis songs that we have to go through. And with Baz, he's so musical in his storytelling and so collaborative between all the sort of filmmaking departments that even from the very beginning stages, there was music was being treated as script and editorial was being treated as script. So we had editors and us on at the same time, and we're going through and looking at the performances that we sort of might be using, and just gradually sort of trying to work out through the music and through all of those astounding performances which ones were really going to give us a story that we could sort of hook into and could create a through line that people could have the experience of what Elvis's life really was.
And you were able to work with the Elvis Masters. How did you decide which of his songs would make the cut?
Well, I mean, that was amazing. And it was for a music fan, an Elvis fan, to be able to geek out and actually listen to just isolate the Elvis vocal or the bass and hear what was actually happening in those sessions and all the outtakes before and after the recording as well was just amazing. But in terms of actually choosing which ones to use, we had a number of lists. There were sort of tracks that we knew you just couldn't do without, like Hound Dog, That's All Right Mama, Suspicious Minds, and a bunch of other ones. Then there were also ones that we went through and were like, this is an undiscovered gem that we think people may not be as aware of, but that audiences should be. And that's tracks like A Feeling in My Body. There was another very obscure track called Cotton Candy Land, which sort of became the Colonel's sort of sinister theme. So there were these sort of Easter egg ones that we chose as well. But eventually it was really trying to find those tentmark performances that could sort of show the high and the low points in his life that really we wanted to get the audience to experience.
And you composed a number of original works for the soundtrack, which saw you working with a symphony orchestra in London and gospel musicians in Nashville. Let's have a listen to a piece called Fly Away Weave. Tell us about this piece. Where does it feature in the film?
This is right at the beginning of the film, and it's a long piece. It's about a six-minute piece. But it's a really good example of the type of process that we went through. So you'll hear in there, there's Gary Clark Jr., who's an incredible performer, modern contemporary performer, who was doing a reinterpretation of Arthur Crudup's That's All Right Mama which was sort of also referencing Blind Lemon, Jefferson's Black Snake Moan. So sort of trying to show the lineage of the song. We went over to Nashville and we recorded with legendary producer over there, Dave Cobb. And Dave found this incredible bunch of gospel singers. And we had this sort of Pentecostal service that we did in this small church about an hour out of Nashville. And we went over there and we'd sort of show them some ideas and some musical ideas, and Baz would give some context for the scene. And then we came up with the recording that you just heard then. And then that comes back and we weave that with Austin Butler experiencing that in sort of the contemporary, his contemporary time back in the Hayride in 56. And then we show him doing that song at Sun Studios. And so we're really trying to show the sort of the lineage of where the music came from. And then it ends up him walking onto screen and there's a big orchestral flourish as he goes and is about to perform for the first time on Louisiana Hayride. But it was a great example of being able to use orchestra, gospel recordings, a contemporary artist, and weaving them all together to try and show the sort of the tapestry of where Elvis's music really came from.
And we heard from Dojo Cat, the soundtrack features contemporary performers like Eminem, Tame Impala, pretty significant list of performers that got involved. But can you explain what was the philosophy behind incorporating these modern artists?
Well, one of the things that you have with a lot of Elvis's music, because the man is just so so universally known and his music is so universally known, sometimes it's sort of a shortcut that happens in the brain where you just go, oh, that's just Elvis. You don't really listen to the music. And so what we wanted to, not listen to the music, but get the experience, what we wanted to do was give contemporary audiences the same sense of excitement and danger that the audiences back in the day would have felt when Elvis was first performing. I mean, I think it was Buddy Holly said, you have no idea just how strange he was and how strange he looked. I mean, he was the Marilyn Manson of the time. And so the idea of bringing in the contemporary artists was trying to give a contemporary audience a sense of what that must have felt like, and say that the Doja Cat is used on the scene when we go down to Beale Street. And Beale Street in the 1950s was the absolute heart of African-American music. It was the most sort of thriving lifebeat there. And we wanted to go, well, who would contemporary audiences have been listening to if they were there today? And so we thought, well, that's Doja Cat. So we did a recording of the Big Mama Thornton track with Shonka Dukere, sent that over to Doja Cat. She used that as a sample. And you have the track Vegas, which I think is a fantastic cut.
Thank you so much for joining us, Elliot.
Thank you so much, Patricia. Lovely to join you.
Elliot Wheeler, the composer and executive music producer for Baz Luhrmann's Elvis biopic, which is in cinemas now. Here's Trouble, sung by Austin Butler.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My daddy was a green-eyed mountain dad because
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.